First Chronicles and Proverbs chapter 4. Catching up on our series, we've been talking about the mind. We've been talking about the thought life. We've been talking about how a mind is renewed. Last week we talked about the old mind. What does the old mind look like? The unrenewed or the old mind, as we've been calling it, doesn't think about people right, doesn't think about God right, doesn't think about ourselves right. The old mind is independent, it's immature, it's narcissistic, and it's passive. And here's the whole deal with this series. If you don't intentionally invest in your thought life, your mind will grow dull and revert to old patterns and old ways of thinking. Here's kind of what we've said every week. You cannot have a negative mind and live a positive life. I don't know anybody who's ever been the exception to that. You cannot have a negative mind and live a positive life. If you don't intentionally invest the right things in your mind, your thinking will grow dull and unrenewed, and old patterns will rise back inside your mind and shape your behavior and your attitude and your action. Now, Herodias was a Greek historian who lived in the 5th century B.C., so long, long time ago. He's regarded as the father of history of the Western culture. During his lifetime, the Persian Empire was the largest and most powerful empire the world had ever known. And he tells us that the mighty Persians had a rule. Listen to this rule in 5th century B.C. that the Persians had. They used to say this: to talk about something is to introduce it to the mind and come one step closer to doing it. To talk about something is to introduce it to the mind and come one step closer to doing it. Now, last week we said there are two ways to deal with the mind: what you put in it and what you keep out of it. Last week we talked about putting the right things in it. This week I want to share with you a few thoughts about what you might keep out of it. How important it is, like the Persians would say, what you introduce to the mind, what you introduce to the thought life. Now, if you'll look on the screen here for a minute, I just want to give you a sense of how thoughts embed themselves inside the mind of a person and how they work. Every thought has a source. In other words, thoughts aren't the result of spontaneous combustion somewhere. Every thought has an origination, and it has a source, and it has a beginning. That source emits a thought. Like the Persians would say, that thought is introduced into the mind. When that thought is allowed to stay in the mind, that thought becomes thinking. It becomes a thought pattern. That thought pattern then produces an attitude. That attitude over time shapes a belief. That belief system causes action. That action creates an external pattern which becomes a habit. That habit over time becomes a person's character. You see what I'm saying? So from the smallest thing, like this, a seed of a thought, an impulse, an idea, a concept, something is introduced and then over time produces character. 1 Chronicles 28:9, listen to the wisdom that David shares with his son Solomon. "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Now, that's David to Solomon. Now in Proverbs 4:23, let's look at what Solomon tells his son. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So what I really came to say this morning is, The Scripture teaches us when it comes to the issues of the mind, the inner life, the inner thought life, the attitude, the motive, the belief, the thinking. Guard, protect, discern. What I'm going to say is use a filter. Filter what comes in. I read a book a few years ago that was so fascinating to me called Who Switched Off My Brain by Dr. Carolina Leaf. And she says, she comes from South Africa and has done a lot of study as her PhD in the science of the mind, but she's also a deeply committed Christian, so she ties theology and scriptural understanding with science. And one of the things she said that shocked her the most when she came to America was how passive the American mind is. There seems to be no filter, no thought, no, it's just the gate is wide open and anything can come in. And so in her book, she describes this thought that I found interesting. There's a part in the brain at the front called the hippocampus. It's the college campus for the hippos. You'll never forget it now. The hippocampus. It's an area in the front of the brain where the brain stores information in short-term memory. Now watch this. Thoughts only stay in that part of your brain. Science has discovered this and proven it. It only stays in the front part of your brain for 48 hours. And in 48 hours, one or two things will happen to it. If you reject the thought, or if you want to dispose of the thought, actually toxins are received in your brain that burn it up and create heat energy. Or you accept the thought, and the thought then goes past the hippocampus and is filed away in long-term memory. And once it is filed away in long-term memory, there's no way to erase it. Now imagine for a minute, all the thoughts through the internet, all the thoughts through culture, all the thoughts through television, all the thoughts through history, all the thoughts that are surged inside our brain on a daily basis that are coming at us at 100 miles an hour, and if there's no filter used on what gets from the short-term memory to the long-term memory, imagine what kind of damage could be sown into a person's life over weeks or months or years. And that's what happens. So there's two ways to keep the mind renewed, two sides to it. One is what you put in it. The other one is what you keep out. Using a filter and straining and rejecting those thoughts that shouldn't be in there. So here's what we're saying. Guard your heart. I'm going to translate that as consider the sources by which your information comes from. What happens is information comes at us so fast, we try to start at the thought level. Do I want this thought or do I not want it? So, or the thoughts just jam in. They get in our long-term memory. Say, I want to think about that later. And then they're building what Dr. Carolina Leaf describes as thought trees. Thoughts that are alike. They actually have seen this on CAT scans or something. Thoughts that are alike group together in your mind and actually build structures inside your brain. And we would know them in a negative sense as strongholds. They group inside your brain and they build strongholds, consolidated thoughts, and they get stronger and they get harder to break and they get more rigid and they get deeper. So where does information come from? Where do we get our information from? Where do we get our information about family, what a family is, what a marriage is, what a good work ethic is, what is integrity, what is right, what is wrong, what does a parent look like, what does it mean to be spiritual, where should I work, what are my priorities, who is God, what is my purpose in life? Where do we get our information about these things? For centuries, our primary source of information has been the family. Now think about what's happening, how profound what's happening, the effect it's having. We've gotten the majority of our information for centuries from our family. But as the family continues to break down, younger generations have abandoned the wisdom of their families. And now we are so many generations into dysfunction that what happens is, oftentimes as young people look back at their family, they see the brokenness, they see the dysfunction, they see the pain, and they distrust their information source because of the dysfunction in the brain. So they begin to seek other sources. Now, you understand, I'm not saying that's necessarily right or wrong. I'm saying it is. In some cases, exactly what you need to do is abandon that information source, because that's the only way you're going to recover. In other cases, you reject that information source at your own harm. Either way, what's happening is this massive shift to where younger people come along, they reject the information source that was the primary one for centuries. And they go and seek other sources, and not all the other sources have been good. Look, I know we've made fun of this, but Forrest Gump said, what did Forrest Gump say? My mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right? Do you know how many people used to say my mom and dad used to say? And not many people say my mom and dad used to say anymore. Think about what's happened. Because now, instead of saying a penny saved is a penny earned, we say you deserve a break today. Think about how subtle that is. But there's been a shift in thinking. We used to say money cannot buy happiness because that's what our family taught us. Now Hollywood comes along and we say, Jerry, show me the money. We used to say, keep your eyes wide open before marriage and one eye shut after. Because that's what our family told us. Now we say we have unreconcilable differences. Why? Because our source of information has changed. We used to say into every life a little rain must fall. Now we say if it rains on me, I'm going to sue somebody. Right? Why? Because our information source changed. Now the time-tested voice of our families and our churches and communities have been replaced by media and TV and culture. We now live in a culture that will get more of its theology from the movie theater than it will from the church or the scripture or its own family. And so I'm just saying that's had a profound effect. So the mind must be renewed, but it also must be guarded so that wrong thoughts never get past the 48-hour memory. They've got to be analyzed and discerned and rejected before they get in a long-term memory. How do you decide whether a thought should be allowed in your long-term memory or not? The way you decide is, where did it come from? What's the source of origination? Where did this thought come from? The best way to decide is source. Where did it come from? Is this a God thought? Is this a thought of the enemy? There's not very many places thoughts originate from, by the way. Or is this a human thought? Where did this thought come from, and do I give it traction or not? So let's talk for a few minutes about those sources. The primary sources of information in our day and age, start with a source, go through thought, thinking, attitude, conviction, belief, action, behavior, character. You change a person's thought life and you will ultimately change their character for the better or for the worse. And so I'm saying, you and I, if our brains, if we're ever going to have the mind of Christ, there's some junk we're going to have to filter out. It's got to not allow, it can't allow it in deeply enough to become our attitude or our character or our behavior. So what are some of those sources? Well, I mentioned it, movies, media, entertainment industry. Let's talk about that for a minute. We've basically said as Christians, well, the movie doesn't have any cursing or any love scenes in it. It must be okay. Let me tell you where I think the enemy's played a huge trick on us. In some ways, we've majored on the minors, and the majors have gotten through. We've strained at a gnat to swallow a camel. What about what the movie teaches? Forget for a minute about how many curse words are there in it. I'm not saying that's good. I just don't think it's the worst thing. I think the worst thing is, what does the movie fundamentally teach me about God, about life, about death, about marriage, about relationships, about about my identity, about who I am, about where I'm going, about selfishness, about morality. What does the movie, what does the show, what does the entertainment, what does the culture, what does whatever, what does the song? What does it teach me about these things? Do you really think that you can watch hour after hour after hour of TV shows that teach you that sexual relationships outside of marriage are normal and healthy? And that attitude, that thought that's introduced into the mind won't bed down into the attitude and bed down into the thought. And we wonder why, when we're having a tough time in marriage, that we, the first place we turn is pornography, or we turn to an emotional affair or something worse. We wonder why our impulse is to go that way, because those thoughts aren't being filtered out at their source. They've got to be filtered out there. You can't watch endless reruns of Rich Spoiled Housewives. I'm sorry, The Real Wives. Whatever. You can't load your mind up with Spike TV and be taught that women only exist for your entertainment and your pleasure. That attitude, that seed will plant in your brain. And it will dull your mind, and it will create a toxin and a poison, and it will produce fruit out the other end somewhere. I mean, you look sometimes at what people watch. You say, why am I always mad at my wife and my kids? What are you putting in your brain? Why do I have this attitude about women? Why am I always mad at my husband and kids? Why is there always... Because you watch those real wives get on there and just chew each other out hour after hour. And it makes you mad. You can't watch 24-hour cycles of the news looping over and over and over and hear story after story after story of tragedy and crisis and injustice. I don't know anybody that's a news junkie that's not mad. Do you? Why? Listen, because thoughts matter. And as the Persians used to say in the 5th century B.C., to speak a thought is to introduce it to the brain and to come one step closer to doing it. Look, I'm not... You got to be in the world. Bible never said don't be in the world. Be in the world, just don't be of it. I'm not saying you don't have entertainment. I do. I watch movies. I watch TV. I do stuff. Every now and then I'll even read the news on MSN or something. Fun. I'm just saying you've got to... This culture is so aggressive, you've got to instill a filter. And you've got to know, based on the source of the thought, is that a God thought? Is it a thought from the enemy? Or is it a thought from humanity? Do I need to accept this down into the depth of my being, or do I need to reject it? Because I'm telling you, when you have a hard time in life, man, those thoughts will come calling. And they want to be paid. We entertained you. We laughed. We danced. We had fun. Now pay up. We're friends. Now go this way. And those attitudes and turns into behavior and takes over and takes over and takes over. Life's about more than what you see or what you hear. Life is about the invisible things that absorb into your mind when it's passive. It's about the thoughts that are introduced into your mind and become beliefs and become actions. That's why a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I really felt... When I was doing, our church does a fast every January, 21-day fast. I really felt the Holy Spirit was drawing me into another place in the fast. I try to change it a little every year just to keep it challenging and engaging and keep myself on track. And so a couple years ago, man, I really felt like one of the things I needed to do is shut everything off. So, and I'll do it again this January. 2 or 3 years ago on January, I turned everything off. I turned the TV off. I turned the radio off. I turned the internet off. I only did email when I had to. I only did internet for study or something. But I shut every source of information I could find in my life. I closed them all. And I said, you know what, God, for 21 days, I want my life to be so quiet that I can actually hear you. I just shut everything off. In some ways, we've majored on the minors, and the majors have gotten through. We've strained at a gnat to swallow a camel. What about what the movie teaches? Forget for a minute about how many curse words are there in it. I'm not saying that's good. I just don't think it's the worst thing. I think the worst thing is, what does the movie fundamentally teach me about God, about life, about death, about marriage, about relationships, about my identity, about who I am, about where I'm going, about selfishness, about morality? What does the movie, what does the show, what does the entertainment, what does the culture, what does whatever, what does the song? What does it teach me about these things? Do you really think that you can watch hour after hour after hour of TV shows that teach you that sexual relationships outside of marriage are normal and healthy? And that attitude, that thought that's introduced into the mind won't bed down into the attitude and bed down into the thought. And we wonder why, when we're having a tough time in marriage, that we, the first place we turn is pornography, or we turn to an emotional affair or something worse. We wonder why our impulse is to go that way, because those thoughts aren't being filtered out at their source. They've got to be filtered out there. You can't watch endless reruns of Rich Spoiled Housewives. I'm sorry, The Real Wives. Whatever. You can't load your mind up with Spike TV and be taught that women only exist for your entertainment and your pleasure. That attitude, that seed will plant in your brain. And it will dull your mind, and it will create a toxin and a poison, and it will produce fruit out the other end somewhere. I mean, you look sometimes at what people want. You say, why am I always mad at my wife and my kids? What are you putting in your brain? Why do I have this attitude about women? Why am I always mad at my husband and kids? Why is there always going? Because you watch those real wives get on there and just chew each other out hour after hour. And it makes you mad. You can't watch 24-hour cycles of the news looping over and over and over and hear story after story after story of tragedy and crisis and injustice. I don't know anybody that's a news junkie that's not mad. Do you? Why? Listen, because thoughts matter. And as the Persians used to say in the 5th century B.C., to speak a thought is to introduce it to the brain and to come one step closer to doing it. Look, you got to be in the world. Bible never said don't be in the world. Be in the world, just don't be of it. I'm not saying you don't have entertainment. I do. I watch movies. I watch TV. I do stuff. Every now and then I'll even read the news on MSN or something. Fun. I'm just saying you've got to this culture is so aggressive, you've got to instill a filter. And you've got to know, based on the source of the thought, is that a God thought? Is it a thought from the enemy? Or is it a thought from humanity? Do I need to accept this down into the depth of my being, or do I need to reject it? Because I'm telling you, when you have a hard time in life, man, those thoughts will come calling. And they want to be paid. We entertained you. We laughed. We danced. We had fun. Now pay up. We're friends. Now go this way. And those attitudes and turns into behavior and takes over and takes over and takes over. Life's about more than what you see or what you hear. Life is about the invisible themes that absorb into your mind when it's passive. It's about the thoughts that are introduced into your mind and become beliefs and become actions. That's why a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I really felt... When I was doing, our church does a fast every January, 21-day fast. I really felt the Holy Spirit was drawing me into another place in the fast. I try to change it a little every year just to keep it challenging and engaging and keep myself on track. And so a couple years ago, man, I really felt like one of the things I needed to do is shut everything off. So, and I'll do it again this January. 2 or 3 years ago on January, I turned everything off. I turned the TV off. I turned the radio off. I turned the internet off. I only did email when I had to. I only did internet for study or something. But I shut every source of information I could find in my life. I closed them all. And I said, you know what, God, for 21 days, I want my life to be so quiet that I can actually hear you. I just shut everything off. And you would be amazed when you shut all the ground noise down. Number one, how loud it really is. Number two, the other things that you hear that you didn't hear before. There was a lady in our church that heard me tell that story. And so she went and did it. And she said, you know what? She said, you're going to think I'm weird for saying this. And you might think I'm weird for telling you. But I'm telling you, try it. She said, I had gotten so quiet in my spirit and my soul. I'd gotten so quiet and focused. She said, I went out to the Galleria one day. And she said, it literally amazed me how noisy the world is. She said, everywhere I look, there's a full color sign and an advertisement and a this and a message and a this, 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 this. She said, not even all the things that were actually spoken, but visuals and pictures and messages and marketing and thoughts and blah, 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 blah. And I think we don't understand how loud our world. Man, I'm telling you, the enemy has partnered with our culture to overwhelm us and pacify us and subdue us by being intense and aggressive and overwhelming. And we just drown in those thoughts. But man, you gotta put a filter and strain some of those things out. Here's another place that our thoughts, another source of information we get thoughts from that we shouldn't. Our own emotions. Your emotions and my emotions are not a reliable source of information. They will mislead you. They do mislead me. Here's what emotions are. Emotions are alerts, but not guides. Emotions tell me that something's wrong, but they don't tell us what's wrong. Emotions, if somebody mistreats me, it makes me angry. That emotion is designed to alert me that something wrong has happened, but I can't let it tell me what to do about it. I can only let it tell me where to focus, where to look, where something has gone wrong. I need to go over there and look at it, get to the bottom of it. It's like a flashing light on a dashboard. I can't let it tell me what to do. I just got to let it tell me where to look. Conversely, other times I feel happy emotions. And I can't let them tell me what to do either. The emotion is designed to tell me something really good has happened. But I can't let it tell me what to do about it. I remember about, it was 5 years ago. Our family took our first trip to Disney World. We were waiting for our kids to get old enough, and I went through a education program, and I was away 11 weeks that year, and, you know, the thing was, if y'all be good when we're done, you know, don't kill mom while I'm gone, and, you know, when we get back, we'll go to Disney World. And so after that long process, we went. We get down to Disney World. The first night, the plane lands, we get off the plane, go over to Disney, check in the room. It was like, we got just enough time. Let's just run over to Epcot, you know. They're going to close shortly. Let's remember. We got over just in time to walk up to this massive open lake and this exploding waterfall and this fireworks show called Fire and Ice. Anybody seen Fire and Ice? Fire and Ice. Man, I'm telling you, it is. I love fireworks. I love watching stuff. I don't know. It's a male. I like to see stuff blow up. Boom, this big platform heats up. Flames are just jumping. And we got to be 100 yards away from this platform that's on fire out in the lake. And you can feel the heat come onto your face. And you look and watch these things. And I'm just sitting there looking. And I look over at my family. And you can see off the glare of their eyes, fireworks blowing up. I'm going, man, isn't this incredible? And Tyler, our youngest son, he looks at me and goes, Dad. I mean, I can't stop smiling. I love fireworks. Stuff blowing up makes me smile. I can't stop smiling. I'm just looking. I can't move. My body's paralyzed. And my youngest son looks at me and goes, Dad, we should move here. It's okay to realize I'm happy. I just can't let it tell me what to do. I said, no, we can't. No, I like this. This is good. We can't move here. They don't want us. And we can't afford it. It's not going to work. The Cinderella Castle is way too high in rent. Be better off trying to live in Manhattan. Can't do it. You can't let your emotions tell you what to do. Thoughts and emotions are inseparable, but emotions must be tested. Now, I want to close with this thought, ask our worship team to come. Let me close with this thought. And we've got this. I want to put it on the screen for you to see. You cannot have the right mind if you start with the wrong source. And there's not as many sources as it seems like. You cannot have the right mind if you start with the wrong source. And so I want to encourage you, where you are in your life, whatever it is that's there, get best as you know how, filter out the wrong things, and get God's perspective on it. Having a new mind, all that means is thinking the way God thinks. And I mean, that's like a lifelong deal. Get, if it's marriage, get a book, get a tape, get a sermon, get a teaching, get a series on what does the Bible teach about marriage? What does the Bible teach about parenting? What does the Bible teach about finance? Or what does God say about relationships or conflict or how to resolve it? Or what does God have to say to me about emotions or about wounds, about pains, about my past, about my family of origin, about the future, about what does God say about me as a son or a daughter of God? What does God say about me? Whatever the issue is, there's likely a Christian perspective on it. And if you'll filter out the things that aren't rooted in God's Word, we it's amazing. We live in a time where there are more Christian, scripture-based, biblical resources than any time in world history. Yet our minds, because of the challenge of the times and the culture we live in, our thinking is more un-Christian than it's been in a long, long time. And I just want to encourage you today, it's not just what you put in, although I said to you last week, I think that really is most important. It's what you keep out. I want to leave you with this example, and then I want to pray. Remember how I said a thought, a source produces a thought, and then that thought, you know, you go all the way down the thing, a thought pattern, a conviction, a belief, and whatever, all the way to action and behavior and character. It actually changes who you are. Do you remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden? How did Satan trick? How did he tempt? He introduced a thought to them they had never had. He said to them, "Did God really say that you couldn't eat from that? I mean, are you sure about that? Does that really matter to God? I mean, is that? I mean, he probably meant that then, but does he still mean that now? I mean, things have changed. The world's so modern. There's two of you now. I mean, you know, there's all this other stuff going on. Animals. Really? Did God really mean that?" And look, watch. Here's what I want you to see. In Adam and Eve's perfect pre-fallen state, sin had never touched them. They had never been touched, influenced, tainted by sin one time. And in their pre-fallen perfect state, the thought was powerful enough that when they bought it, it brought down humanity. And if you don't think what you allow in your mind can affect your life, I'm telling you, you are mistaken. The innocent thoughts, the funny thoughts, the thoughts that you think don't matter seeping there in your subconscious, I'm telling you, those thoughts can and oftentimes will reap a harvest. And it's not good. And so I'm just saying in this series, man, we want to have a renewed mind, and we got to put a filter on our brain and not let stuff in so far. I mean, it's there, it's there. We know it's there, we hear it, but we got to not let it in deep in our soul, deep in our inner thinking. We want to think God's thoughts. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to close in prayer. And every eye closed, every head bowed. Here's how I want to pray for you. Here's what's going to happen as we pray. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And He's going to show you a source or sources of information that you've got that you need to filter out. You need to filter from that source better. It might be, you know, it might be a broken family member. It might be a broken parent. It might be a person that you've bonded in relationship with at work or in your neighborhood that you need to filter that source of information off. It's not good for your spirit. It might be a show. It might be entertainment. It might be books. It might be songs. I don't know. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And here's what I want to do. Let's just begin to pray together. I want you to pray with me and say, Holy Spirit, come and speak to me now. Just begin to pray and say, Holy Spirit, I open my mind to you. I open my heart to you. I open my soul to you, Lord. I open my thinking to you. God, I best as I can, I eliminate every other voice and I open myself in the quiet of this moment and I say, Holy Spirit, come and speak to me. Holy Spirit, give me discernment inside my inner man. Give me discernment inside my soul and my thinking and my mind. And Lord, I pray as David did, search me, oh God, know if there's any wicked way in me. And Lord, I pray that you would begin like an X-ray machine to shine your light on my life and show me where the sources of information are coming from that disagree with your word, that disagree with your spirit, that disagree with your plan and your will in my life. Lord, show me where those sources are. Show it to me, Lord. And now as the Holy Spirit just rushes those things to your mind, Lord, today I take authority over every source of information that comes into our being that misleads us. Lord, I proclaim today that the enemy is the father of lies, and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, on the authority of your word today, I speak life. And Lord, I pray that these sources and these ties and these connections would be severed this morning, and there would come a separation from these sources, a filter. Lord, that we would begin to understand that in your word there is life, in truth there is life, the leading of your Holy Spirit brings life. And so, Lord, we reject and we turn our back on and we renounce every voice from our family, every voice from our past, every voice from the shows we have, from the media, from the culture, even from our own broken emotions. Lord, we renounce and reject those voices and we say, God, we want your voice to be louder in our life. We want to hear it better. So Lord, we turn our back on those things and we say, God, renew our mind. Renew us today. Lord, we have received. Would you just, in your own prayer now as we close, would you just say, Lord, today I receive the words of truth. I receive the words of life. Your word says that the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And I receive in my inner man life and peace today. Now, God, give me the wisdom to go and live the life of life and peace. Lord, now give me the wisdom to discern when a thought comes in, where it comes from. God, I pray you'd crown this body with discernment.